Welcome to the Pretty Deadly Podcast. I'm Susie Pollock, the founder of Pretty Deadly Self-Defense, a self-defense program for women I developed based on my experiences as a violent crime survivor and my 23 years of training in the Japanese art of ninjutsu. In the previous episode, I talked about where we use self-defense in everyday life, and in this episode, my guest Elsa Kramer is going to talk about where she uses self-defense and her martial arts training in her life as an executive coach, creative mind, solo traveler, philosopher, and mom. Elsa lives in the Netherlands, where she runs her consulting, creative coaching, and podcasting business, Managing the Smart Mind. You can find her work and even hire her at her website, coachkramer.org. I'll put the link in the show notes. But for now, I'm going to dive right in and let Elsa do the talking. And welcome, Elsa, to the Pretty Deadly Podcast. I'm so glad that you're here. Thank you so much for joining us. I can't wait for our listeners to meet you.
I am delighted to be here.
Thanks. So just jumping right in, basically, can you let us know, I mean, I obviously know who you are and what you do, but can you let our listeners know who you are and what you do and where you live as well? Because I've never actually interviewed anyone in your part of the world yet.
Oh, interesting.
You're not that far from me, but still, I'd like to, representation is everything.
100%. So I live in the Netherlands, often called Holland, but people get very mad when you call it that. I won't. It's a long story. Let's not go there. And I live in the big, dynamic port town of Rotterdam. And I coach super smart founders, entrepreneurs, professionals from around the world. And I also work as a facilitator. I work with teams, coach at events, create experiences, all that kind of stuff, challenges. I just have a lot of fun helping smart people do their work even better.
You have a challenge going on right now, don't you? Yes. That you're doing a beta testing about. Are you willing to talk about it?
Absolutely. Yes. So I love running challenges because they're a great way to get people engaged and to help them change a small thing in a very short period of time so that their brain starts believing that change is possible again, and also to build community, right? Because we all crave community, and a lot of very fast brain people lack community in the sense that they don't have enough other smart people to play with. So I love creating those little containers and then have a lot of fun. So right now we're playing with visual AI, some other stuff to dive into our identities and how we want to transform them.
That sounds very cool. So you told me a little bit earlier that this is a beta test. So this is something that you're testing with a small group and then you're going to roll it out in a larger scale.
100%. And a larger scale may not necessarily mean like a larger group, but it just may mean I do it more often or I charge money for it or whatever. Right. Still figuring that out.
Okay. Well, we're going to follow along on that development because I think that that sounds very cool. So for people who are watching the video version of this, you can already see, but for people who are just listening to the podcast, what you can't see is behind Elsa is a model of a roller coaster, which is super cool.
What I also know
about Elsa is that she recently did it was like a tour of
Lego. The Lego Inside Tour. It's like this once in a lifetime experience where you get to see all things Lego. You go to Billund, you meet the designers, you get a tour around the factory, especially behind the scenes tour, Lego House, go to Lego campus. I mean, it was insane. It was in June. I'm still reeling from it. It was so good.
That's cool. Yeah. So what I like about you is your sense of play. And at the same time, from my interactions with you, I've learned that you're also someone who just really has your feet on the ground.
100%.
So yeah. There's playfulness and joyfulness, but there's also pragmatism.
Definitely. And interestingly, I have a degree in philosophy, right? So I think I needed to counterbalance that with actually doing stuff in the world. All that thinking wasn't getting me anywhere.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that makes a lot of sense to me because I'm very much about connecting, you know, mind-body stuff and learning through the body. I love to learn through my brain as well, but I find that I learn differently when I let my body teach me.
Yes.
And I can understand that connection. So the way that
you and I met was on something called Lunch Club. I haven't been back on that thing at all. Have you?
I am once in a while, but not as often as I used to be.
Okay. So Lunch Club, for those of you who don't know, is a platform that was started in real life in San Francisco as a way to encourage people to meet for lunch as a kind of like one-on-one networking tool. When the pandemic came and locked everybody down, they moved to an online platform, and that's when I joined. And it was really great because you could have these like 1 hour connections with people all over the world. And sometimes it was just a brief, like, hi, nice to meet you. Who are you? What do you do? And then you never hear from them again. And others you make a connection with and you stayed in touch with. And that's what happened with me and Elsa. And one of the ways that we really connected is that Elsa also has trained in martial arts.
Yeah. What are the odds, right, that we met on Lunch Club and we have this background?
Exactly. We both focus on helping people go through the change, you know, get the tools that they need to make the changes that they want. Yeah. And we both have martial arts training, et cetera. And because I'm someone who is building a business, there's Pretty Deadly. And then there's also our parent company, which is Singe, which I'm also the head of. And I'm working on building something very large. So Elsa's services as a coach and a business coach are really important to me, although I have not been able to fully avail myself of them yet, but still very high on my priority list. And one of the reasons that it's important for me to connect with somebody like Elsa is because of that martial arts training. I've talked to other business coaches occasionally when somebody offers like freebie stuff, and it's just not the same. So I'm wondering if you can let me or let our audience know a little bit about your martial arts background. Like, how long did you train for? Sure. If you're still training, what style, what got you into it? Just go.
Absolutely. Okay. So listen, this story is very disappointingly random, as in I was at university in Amsterdam, having just come back from UK. And I was like, I need to start moving my body. I'd spent my life thinking sports were for stupid people, and I'd much rather read books. But I got to a point where I was like, no, I want to, like you said, you know, not just use my brain. That is not going to get me to the point where I want to get, and not going to make me feel as good as I want to feel. So I just went to the university sports center, got one of those flyers, and I just tried the first martial arts, starting with A. Aikido. I mean, so random, right? But I loved it. I loved it. So I went to Aikido training. I loved it. It's very interesting because I have since found out that I'm also autistic. I think it's very interesting that with Aikido, actually your body is compressed a lot, right? You're smashed against the mat all the time. If you like that kind of stuff, I did. So for me to learn that, but also to feel so embodied, it was amazing. So I wanted more, and I get a bit fanatical about things, like in a good way, very passionate. So I started training outside university hours, found a dojo. Then at some stage realized, okay, I need a better teacher, right? And you will agree that it's very important to find a good sensei and a dojo where you feel completely safe, because at some stage you're going to do scary stuff, right? You're going to have to face things and move through things, and you need the safest, best possible environment for that. So I went to look for another teacher, and I found the most amazing teacher, Wilco Friesman in Amsterdam, who then has been my sensei ever since. I no longer train, right? But up until, I think, you know, when I did my black belt and a couple of years after, he's been my sensei. And I still consider him my sensei because I learned so much from him. Yeah. And I was addicted. I mean, seriously, it was so good. It was so good.
I had a lovely phone call with my sensei last night. And, you know, I mean, it's 2023. So we've been connected for 23 years.
Yeah.
And then he was complaining about how people he considers friends, me and a few other really long, like, you know, old timers, will never call him by his first name. We only call him sensei, which is absolutely true.
Yeah.
And I was like, but you're always going to be my teacher, even though there's also a friendship you know, and a very, you know, there's also respect and there's trust and there's a lot of love. And, you know, I know his daughters and his partner and, you know, like all this stuff. I've met members of his family, but he's always going to be my sensei.
Yeah. This, right?
Yeah.
100%. And for me, it just started this completely transformative journey from someone who sort of saw their body as an obstacle, pretty much, right? Something that needed to be fed and just was demanding all these things, to something that was amazing. And also an amazing, I don't know, vehicle for energy, right? And I discovered that I was capable of so much more than I ever thought possible, that I could feel anger and that I could channel it, that I could direct it. I started weapons training, which is like the best thing ever. If you want to feel completely alive, some of your listeners will recognize this, that I still do miss. I do have my Boken in my studio. Very useful when I get a bit angry to do some solo Boken. The Boken is a wooden sword for people